Hi, I'm Kate Foster. I'm co-founder and CEO of The Outset. And what I love about beauty is the ability to choose your own adventure.
From New York City, you're listening to Beauty is Your Business, covering the intersection of innovation and business in the beauty industry.
Hey, Kate, how are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. How are you?
Good. We're so happy to have you today on Beauty is Your Business and get to talk about you, your career, the building of this amazing brand, The Outset with Scarlett. So kind of rewind us a little bit back to, you know, where you started. I know you've worked in fashion and beauty and how you got to be building a brand in the beauty industry.
Well, so right out of school, I graduated from Colgate University, a small liberal arts school upstate New York. I came from California, so I came over to the East Coast. And the first job that I had out of school was working at CEW, the trade organization for the beauty industry. And that's really where I developed my love for this industry, made so many amazing connections and got to work alongside some really amazing people. You know, in Carlotta's, like, actually very early years being president of the organization, and got to learn from her and got to meet such amazing female leaders in the business. And I fell in love. And I never really knew what I wanted to do when I graduated. You know, I was an English major and I was just kind of like, well, you know, I can do a lot of different things. Like, I know I'm not a dummy, but I didn't really have a passion, so to speak, other than wanting to give it my best and be as good as I possibly could be. And then, you know, when I got into this community of beauty and saw all of these amazing women achieving and contributing, and I was just so impressed. And I was like, this is where I want to be. That's what I want to do. I want to run a beauty business.
Wow, that's an amazing start. I feel like how you couldn't have planned it better for not having planned it, right?
Exactly. You know, and that's the thing, is sometimes you stumble into the place that you were always meant to be. So I worked at CEW for a couple of years and then had the opportunity to interview with all of these women who are on the board, and wound up taking a position at Victoria's Secret's beauty business, working underneath Robin Burns, who I got to meet through CEW. And it was really exciting to me because really she was kind of creating a startup within this larger organization at Limited Brands. And she was developing a joint venture with Shiseido, which was really cool and innovative at the time. And then the Victoria's Secret beauty business was this quote unquote small $500 million category of beauty inside this lingerie company. And, you know, I wound up working there first in PR and then in communications and marketing. And in that 7 or so years, it had grown, it had doubled in size to $1 billion. So it was really a fantastic training ground and opportunity to learn so much about the consumer, about product development, about marketing. And I really, really loved it. It was great. I did get recruited into fashion and kind of almost immediately regretted it. I was like, oh, you know, I miss beauty. But again, I went to business school along the way. Also, when I was at Victoria's Secret, did the FIT master's program in the beauty industry. Victoria's Secret sponsored me for that. So like, I actually do have a master's in beauty.
Wow. Not many people can say that.
Yeah. Master's in beauty. And then I did my MBA at Columbia. And so it's all just been this kind of training ground to get to this place of having my own startup. It was kind of like increasingly entrepreneurial roles in fashion. Then I had my own startup, which was a word of mouth product recommendations platform focusing in beauty. And when it was acquired by Meredith, a very large media company, is around the same time that mutual friends introduced me to Scarlett. And she and I started talking about what could be. And The Outset was really built on her pain points with having sensitive skin and a lot of these harsh products that she was using based on the recommendations of others, including what I was doing with my beauty product recommendations platform. I was trying everything and my skin was really red and irritated and raw and breaking out, even though, you know, I was already, I think, into my late 30s or early 40s. And it was kind of this idea of having a radically gentle reset that could be really the start of healthy skin is where Scarlett and I united around the vision for the outset.
Amazing. And obviously now it's been in existence for a couple of years and you started kind of in the pandemic timing. So how did that work? What were the challenges that you had to overcome? How did you come up with just the basics, like the name, the product assortment?
One of the things that I'm like decently good at is creating like order out of chaos. This idea of like, you know, one of my favorite quotes is, and it's been attributed to many sources, you know, and versions of it over time, but this idea of how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? You know, taking these small bites in order to kind of take down a daunting task. And when you're presented with this idea of like, okay, we're going to launch a beauty brand, we're going to launch a skincare brand in the middle of the pandemic, how do you go about doing that? And so developing that timeline and just taking those small bites is what Scarlett and I did pretty much for 2 years, you know, from just really kind of uniting around like the vision of what we wanted to see for the brand, looking at what else was in the market, where the consumer sentiment was, where do we feel like we had permission to play, to like narrowing in on this idea of a foundational and universal approach to daily skincare that was radically gentle and with clinically proven clean ingredients. And that's how we wound up actually partnering with a big company that was able to help us source this botanical alternative to hyaluronic acid that's sourced from the seeds of acacia flower. And that's inside every single one of our products. You know, so all of these just like little bites kind of happen. But Scarlett and I spent a lot of time on Zoom. And even though in the middle of all this kind of chaos and uncertainty, we both had kids at home that were trying to do online learning with, and it was a crazy time, but we found this respite in being able to work together on this creative project and kind of have the ability to dream in the middle of kind of a wild moment.
Wow. And so where did you come up with the idea for the name, the packaging design, and then specifically, obviously, you said that, you know, working with the lab, you were able to kind of discover this ingredient that would carry across the collection. How did you decide what products to launch with and, you know, how to position them in the market?
Yeah. So first with the name, naming is hard. Naming, everything is taken. So we had this list. We had just like a Google Doc that we just kept dumping names and ideas in. We hired a copywriter who put like maybe 200 names in. And we were going down kind of like, there was this like Danish route that we were going, you know, to nod to, you know, Scarlett's roots. And there's like a lot of letters and no vowels and things kind of like, you know, we're like, that's not it. That's not it. And then right before one of the meetings, I had just, you know, we kept talking about like the start, the beginning. And then I was like, oh, at the outset, from the outset, from the outset. And so then I just put it down on this Google Doc and I was like, I really love that. Like this idea of at the outset, from the outset, and put down the outset and just plain outset. When Scarlett kind of, we were going through and she was like, no, not that one, not that one. And then stopped at the outset and she was like, oh, you know, and I said, I know, I feel that way about that one too. And then being able to trademark things and get the URLs, like all of that is very complicated, but the stars really aligned. But it was over the weekend she texted me and she was like, she wrote the outset with like little thinking face emoji. I was like, oh, it's
brewing.
It's incepting. Yeah, it's brewing. She's like thinking about, because I'm thinking about it a lot too. And so that's where that began.
So you came up with it technically.
I did. Yeah. I love naming. I love copy. I don't fancy myself a copywriter by any stretch of the imagination. But I love it. I really do. I pretend that I can do some copy sometimes, but I do like to write a lot and I love creative ideas. And I think that's why I really feel very at home in this type of role where, you know, at a high level, I'm able to use both sides of my brain, left and right, to bring the analytical and organizational alongside the creative and consumer-centric positioning.
Love that. And then when you were thinking about the packaging, obviously it's pretty, you know, minimal. I know at a time where like a lot of brands launching very bright and poppy, and what was the thinking behind that?
Yeah, I mean, it was very intentional, you know, to create this minimalist approach that was meant to de-stress luxury beauty. You know, it's like when we think about the stress of 14-step routines that Scarlett and I were like, I don't have time for that. Or it's complicated, like packaging or complicated rituals. It was really about de-stressing and cutting out the clutter, but then also de-stressing for your skin of having this, again, radically gentle approach that was going to deliver all of the high-performance benefits without the irritation. And so taking this more kind of, you know, a stark, you know, utilitarian, kind of more refined, quiet luxury approach was what we wanted to do. There are many brands out there that are neon and popping and, you know, all that. And it's great. This is just something else. So it's just for the customer that appreciates that kind of breath of fresh air and that approach. That's what we're here for.
And I feel like it is strangely like different in the market
for sure.
And it's appealing like across the board too. It's not just like, oh, that's for like, you know, this age group or this gender or whatever. It's really very like universally appealing.
Yeah. And that was the idea, is having a universal approach to daily skin health that could be used by all genders, all generations, all skin types, especially the most sensitive. And Scarlett kept saying, I just want like one set of products that Colin and I can share that can be on our vanity that are appealing to both of us. So I think that's really what the intention is. We do have a pretty solid male customer base. And when we look at our demographics, those bars are pretty straight across the spectrum from my 12-year-old who is using it because, you know, she's already dealing with hormonal skin fluctuations and breakouts, to me and my husband in our 40s and my mom, you know, who's about to turn 80. We all love this product and feel like we are achieving our best skin no matter where we are in this life cycle.
I love that. And kind of related, it makes me think of how, you know, you entered the market and like what channels you have started in and then expanded into. So can you talk a little bit more about that in terms of retail? And
again, like we intended, so we had an exclusive retail partner when we launched, which was Sephora. And we did intend to launch on our direct-to-consumer before we actually did. And that was the repercussions of COVID and the supply chain kind of bullwhip effect that happened. It was really like a wild time of like factories closing for months because of COVID and, you know, changing timelines and this and that. And so like our D2C timeline was supposed to launch actually in Q4 of 21. And we didn't launch until the very end of, you know, of Q1 in 22. So we were a handful of months off of the original timeline. And sometimes I forget, like, oh my God, how stressful that was at the moment. But the thing that kind of stayed rooted firm was our Sephora launch. So we had to launch our D2C, and then that Sephora launch came pretty quickly on the heels. So we didn't have too much time to really kind of like build our fan base or our audience before we were launching on that main stage in Sephora. And we had an exclusive with them for a year and have since expanded now to Goop, to Heyday, to Nordstrom, to Cult Beauty in the UK, which we have a pretty significant UK and EU followership on TikTok and on our customer base. And so we wanted to be able to more seamlessly bring products to them in addition to opening international shipping on our website. And just recently, you know, recognizing that we did, you know, have this, we've been able to kind of reach these different customer segments of that universal approach that I referenced through our retail partner. So we're getting that, you know, that clean consumer through Goop, and we're getting kind of this like younger consumer through Sephora, experiential 30 somethings at Heyday. But we didn't really have a platform to speak to a more mature audience. And so when Scarlett was like, it's my dream to be on QVC, I was like, what? It is? And so we just launched on QVC in January, and it was phenomenally successful. We sold out and are gearing up to go back. So that's been a really great opportunity because you're able to speak to different elements of the brand benefits and product benefits and how they can work for all of these different skin types and address, meet the consumer where they are and address their concerns in really relatable ways.
That's amazing. When I saw that you were launching on QVC, I was like, wow, that's so smart. And it's also a way to be able to tell the story of the brand more than people might encounter just seeing it in a store and hearing it from the mouths of the creators is always, you know, a different level than you can get. So
it is, you know, being able to meet the customer where they are and tell the story, you know. And also I think what's really unique is like Scarlett and I, well, Scarlett doesn't have a social media presence at all. She appears on the Outset's channels, and that's drawn a lot of interest into the brand because there's a little scarcity there in that you can't find her, you know, on other channels. And I do not proclaim myself to be any form of influencer and, you know, have only recently built a little bit of a following up because of the brand, but we weren't coming in with this existing platform. And so are just looking for places where we can tell the story and connect with people. And it's been a lot of fun.
That's awesome. And obviously, quote unquote, celebrity brands have had a huge moment in the past couple of years. Initially, it was years ago with fragrances.
Yeah. I remember those days.
Oh, yeah. It was like every other, there was like 20 versions of like the same fragrance from a celebrity that all did really well to their credit. And now there's been a boom, obviously, in skincare and somewhat with makeup, and now a little bit with hair brands and that are celebrity tied. So how do you distinguish the Outset from other celebrity, quote unquote, beauty brands? Because there are so many, and it is, I think, harder to stand out and harder to like maintain the success. I think like having the initial splash and the excitement is a little bit easier, but I think, you know, having the long-term success and that connection with consumers is probably more challenging. So how do you navigate that?
Yeah, I mean, I think like we've always been really focused on understanding what the consumer's problems are and creating solutions for them. And I think the idea that we're trying to, you know, create a movement around radically gentle skincare and creating these sensitive skin solutions that are really about the consumer. It's not about Scarlett's celebrity. Certainly, you know, Scarlett's association opens doors and piques interest. So there's opportunity for us to leverage certain advantages, just like anybody who is a creator who's launching a brand is looking to leverage their connection that they've built with their audience. And so I think I try not to compare too much because, like, I think a lot of people are doing things that are authentic to who their founders are or to what their mission is. And I think to kind of conflate that because somebody is known, it's difficult to paint all these brands with the same paintbrush. For the most part, I think the most successful ones are being authentic to who the founder is and to who their consumer is. And I think if people stay focused on that, then, you know, then they'll have success. But I think for us, it really is about building a modern legacy brand that is rooted in celebrating the beauty of simplicity and creating kind of this gentle skincare movement and de-stressing, you know, sometimes complex or complicated aspects of beauty and self-care. And so that is really like our platform and that we're going to kind of stay true to and hopefully be able to create something that outlasts me or Scarlett's association or transcends that celebrity of what she's known for. It's really about the brand and the consumer finding themselves in the product rather than trying to look like Scarlett. Because I don't look like Scarlett.
In our dreams.
Yeah. I mean, like, I don't, I get photographs of Scarlett all the time. I'm several years older than her. And she's one of the most beautiful people on the planet. But I feel great about my skin.
Yes. You have amazing skin.
Thank you. I mean, I feel confident about and in my skin because of these products. And so I think it's that magic and that Outset effect is what we're really trying to tap into.
And, you know, I was thinking about the journey of the brand and building it. And obviously a lot of it happened during COVID. What were the biggest challenges, like either during that time or leading up until now that you faced? And, you know, how did you kind of work through those? Because there's probably a lot of unexpected things that pop up on the journey.
Challenges happen every single, like whether it was COVID or now, having a startup is truly like a roller coaster. And it's like the highs are high, the lows are low. You've got to just kind of like keep your wits about you and keep it even and go into problem solving mode. But yeah, we had supplier challenges. We had inventory, like projections moving around and this and that, you know, I mean, it's just like all of it, just getting things from one place to the other, hiring team in like an uncertain time where people were kind of like, what's the future of work look like? And it was more bumpy than like I probably would care for it to be due. But now I feel like we've really hit a stride in a way where we have a fantastic team that does so much, you know, for such a, like a tiny group. And they're really aligned, I think, around shared values and ethos and the ambition for the brand. And, you know, I think because we've all like seen some things. And the thing is about startup is like, if you can be smarter 6 months than 6 months from now than you are today, then that's what it's all about. That's what you're when you're doing something right. But repeating mistakes, like that's not a great idea.
You could avoid it.
Exactly. So no, I think it's been a journey exactly to your point, and it's been a fun ride.
Amazing. And I feel like the brand obviously is centered on this idea of like gentle, minimal skincare. So how do you, as you're looking into growing over time, I feel like you've been very strategic about launches, you know, not launching with like 50 products and millions of options and ingredients. And since that's really seems to be against the ethos of the brand, how do you see the brand evolving over time? And like, what are you looking at for the future?
Yeah, we look at multitaskers, things that can really improve the or streamline people's existing beauty routines, save them time, save them energy, save them stress, you know, save their skin. So we're really looking to kind of create, again, this like foundational assortment that isn't tricky or complicated, that can be like that perfect white tea that can seamlessly work with other products that you may already be using. And that gives us a lot of room to play in. We're looking at the assortment more in terms of breadth and depth. We have one serum that does four different things. It brightens, it firms, it hydrates, it plumps, all in one easy step and without irritation. So I don't think we're ever going to be the brand that has like 17 serums, but there's plenty of opportunities for us to be able to look at, you know, what are the other holes in their assortment, whether it's from body to hair to makeup to fragrance, there's plenty of opportunity for us to expand.
Exciting. Well, I know we all look forward to seeing that.
Yeah. We have an exciting new launch coming in the spring. And that is something that is, for me, has been the missing ingredient, the thing that is a foundational concept to the beauty routine. And it's been a long time coming and a long time in the works. So we're excited about that. Can't wait to share it with you.
Amazing. Can't wait to hear about it. And speaking of which, when you're coming up with ideas for products, marketing, whatever it is, where do you get inspiration from? Is it from customers? Is it from outside sources? Like, where do you, you know, get ideas and say, oh, maybe we should add this, or maybe I should tweak this, or that kind of type of thing?
I mean, the first part of it, like when you approach product development or anything from the beauty industry, when you have a startup, is saying no more than you say yes. So I think like we could have a ton of ideas, and we do have a ton of ideas, and have to be really selective and strategic about where we're going to spend our precious resources, from mind space, you know, of the team to capital. And so I wish I could say yes to more things than I can, but it's really about focus at this point. So I think that is the reality of where we are with the startup today. But we've let the consumer really guide us, and we're also consumers as well. So if it can solve a problem for the consumer in their beauty routine, then that's the first piece. And then we kind of take it from there. You know, like we are inspired. The team is so creative, and there's a lot of like really awesome references out in the world that aren't beauty at all that, you know, we look to, from pop culture to nostalgia. There is like an element of nostalgia in a lot of the products that we create, where our three-step, for example, you know, is like the really the foundation of this line: cleanse, prep, and moisturize. And the prep step, that second step. So, you know, Scarlett and I grew up using like that Clinique three-step, or, you know, and it was like this toner as the second step. And it was always like strip, strip, and then try to hydrate again. And so we were like, well, what happens if you hydrate, hydrate, hydrate every step of the way? And so there was like this kind of element of like something that was very foundational, something that was iconic and there from the start. And how do you reinvent it and make it clean and mindfully designed, as well as, you know, high performance ingredients that can deliver the benefits without the burn was really the idea. And so we've kind of taken a little bit of that approach too, of like, oh, you know, a product I really loved, you know, that I used to use all the time when I was younger, but, you know, really left my skin feeling dry, or what, you know, our blue clay mask is one that I feel like is an update. And then we have another product coming out later this year as well, that is kind of like a reinvention of an icon. So there's always a chance for a new beginning, is what we say at the outset. And it's like, whether it's with your skincare routine or some of these like tried and true beauty staples.
Yeah. Wow. That's amazing. I feel like it's so cool to hear that not only are you inspired by like what's happening right now, but also what the past, and because there are things that worked for a reason, and if there's ways to kind of make them even better for the modern day. So that's really, really cool. So yeah, as we kind of get wrapped up, I was just curious if you have any advice for entrepreneurs. Obviously, you started, like you said, scrappy, you, the two of you exchanging ideas. What advice do you have for entrepreneurs that are in like the valleys of the peaks and valleys?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think staying curious, staying optimistic. Curiosity and optimism are like part of those values that we share at the outset among the team. Because when you're curious, you're open to new ideas, you're able to listen and, you know, and experiment. So having like those rooted sense of values that are going to anchor you, you know, in a positive way, you know, like when, or really steel you when there's a lot of chaos kind of swirling around you, having great people around you. You know, I was a solo founder, and then in my first life as an entrepreneur, and now I'm a co-founder, and I vastly prefer being a co-founder and having a partner in Scarlett, you know, just because like, if I'm freaking out about something, she can like talk me down or just give me a new perspective when I'm like, oh, I didn't really think about it that way. That I think is really valuable. And, you know, we found that also in the team, the small and mighty team that we have at the outset. It is hard. It's hard having a startup, but I think also if you really, you know, believe passionately that your ideas should exist, then resilience is the thing that should propel you forward. Because, and I say this to my kids all the time too, it's like, you're going to get knocked down. The question is, can you get back up? And having that resilience to keep going is a really, I think, valuable trait in business and in life.
Awesome. Can you let our listeners know how they can connect with you and or the brand, whatever you prefer?
Yes. Please connect with me. I love to connect with people on Instagram, Kate_theoutset. I'm also on TikTok at the same handle, Kate_theoutset. Follow the brand at The Outset in Instagram and TikTok. You can find us on theoutset.com, at Sephora, at Nordstrom, at Goop, at Heyday, at Cult Beauty, and now at QVC as well.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Kate, for your time and sharing your story and your insights. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you to everyone for listening. Check back soon for another great guest. I'm April Franzino, and this is Beauty Is Your Business.
This has been Beauty Is Your Business, produced by Mouth Media Network. Keep in touch on Instagram and Facebook at Mouth Media Network, and find prior episodes at beautyisyourbusiness.com. And wherever the best podcasts are found, your brand message can be on this show. Email us to find out more at podcast@mouthmedianetwork.com. Thank you for listening.